We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Here in chapter 2 of Mark. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, or it was heard. And straightway many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof which where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, that thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now, I want to preach here on this story here in the Word of God. And if you were here a Sunday night for the singers, the lady said something that just jumped out at me and caused me to go home and get the Bible and read on it and study on it, and that really blessed me, and that's why I'm preaching on this, but I went home and studied on this. And she said this when they sung his name is Lazarus, I think. She said when they got up on the roof and they let the man down through the hole in the roof, they turned loose of the ropes because they wasn't expecting to pull him back up. They were expecting him to walk out on his own. I thought, man, I've read that. I never have ever thought about that. Never have ever really. Does it really say that? Does it really say that they turned loose of the ropes? And I went home and began to study. Don't exactly say it in those words, but exactly what they did do. No, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the singing, enjoyed song service, all that. But that just blessed me and got me to studying on this. And I guess this is why that the Lord has laid this message on our heart tonight, because this is where I began to study when I went home a Sunday night. But if I should take a text tonight, that text would be getting the clay out of the way. Now we know where I come up with the term "their clay." We know that the roofs were made of clay in those days, and so that's what we're talking about. They had to tear up the roof and remove the roof in order to let their friend down through the hole in the roof. And this passage right here records one of the great miracles of the Lord Jesus while he was here upon this earth. Now, he heals a man who is afflicted with palsy. And this means that he was paralyzed. That's simply what that meant. He was a paralyzed man. And what anyone else would have considered impossible was handled by Jesus easily. Because we all know that there is nothing impossible with God. Is that not right? We know there's nothing too hard for the Lord to do. And so here, but now when this passage is preached, and I know you have heard it preached on many times. I've heard it preached on many times. I don't know whether I've ever preached on it or not. But we've heard it preached on many times, and preachers usually talk about those four men who brought their friend here to Jesus. And I've heard a message, and one of them was entitled, A Ten-Legged Man Meets the Lord. And if you do the math, I guess that's probably correct, because there's four carried him and two on the bed makes ten. But as other times, we preach about how Jesus put all of those old self-righteous religious snobs in their place. And I like that when he did that. So there's even a tremendous picture here of our salvation in the healing of this paralyzed man. So there's all kinds of angles that preachers uses, and God gives the preacher to preach this. But I think tonight is I want to preach this passage from a different angle. I want to preach on the thought, as I said, getting the clay out of the way. Now, these men wanted to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus, but they couldn't get him there because of the crowds. The crowds blocked the doorway. They couldn't get up to the door, couldn't get through the door into the house where Jesus was teaching. You see there in verse 4. So they took the paralyzed man onto the roof of the house. They broke up the roof and they lured their friends down to Jesus through the hole in the roof. Houses in that day, they usually had one of two types of roofs. And the first consisted of beams that covered with crisscrossing sticks. In other words, you can imagine that in your mind. And then this wooden foundation was then covered by clay tiles, which was in turn with more clay, and finally grass was even placed on the top. And so that was the first type of the roof. And the other type of the roof was covered with overlapping clay tiles. And so these roofs, as some of you have been there, seen on TV, and you know, these roofs was accessible by a stairway that went up to the side of the building. That's how you got to the roof. Either way, to get this man to Jesus, they had to dig through the layers of the roof to get the clay out of the way. No matter what kind of roof it had on, the problem was the same. They were going to have to break up the roof and get the roof out of the way and create a hole big enough in order to let their friends down to get him to Jesus. When they did this, their friend experienced the grace of God that resulted in the forgiveness of his sins and the healing of his body. But none of this happened until they got the clay out of the way. It couldn't have happened. They had to get the hole and the clay out of the way in order to let him down through there for any of this to take place. Now tonight, I want you to know that your walk with Jesus tonight, it will never be all that it can be until you get the clay out of the way in your life. Now you see, clay in the Bible is a type of the old flesh. That's what we're talking about. When you hear me say getting the clay out of the way, I want you to know that I'm saying getting the flesh out of the way. Getting our flesh out of the way, because we all know that tremendous story over there in Jeremiah chapter 18. When they went down to the potter's house. And they went down there to the potter's house, and he had this clay vessel there on the potter's wheel, and he was forming and making and molding that old lifeless clay into a vessel. And we all know that story. So you see here how that our souls thrill when we think of how that God can take our old that lifeless clay bodies and make something glorious out of it, and use this old body of clay for His glory. And that's what He does. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing tonight. But that same clay stays with you and me until we make the trip home to glory. In other words, what I'm saying is, even though you're saved and you're living for the Lord and you're close to the Lord, you're going to have to deal with this old clay or this old body. You're going to have to deal with it until Jesus takes you home to heaven. Now, it's going to rear its head up all the time. Every time that you want to do something for the Lord and the Spirit, then the flesh is always there, contrary one to the other. And so you got that, and it's always going to be there until you get to heaven, and it tends to get in the way of what God wants to do in your life and mine. Absolutely, it does. If the flesh didn't get in the way tonight, there'd be a whole lot more people here in church tonight. But we know that the clay got in the way of a lot of people tonight. And we're saying the flesh did, because I don't know, the flesh might have been tired, reason it didn't want to come. The flesh may have had something else it wanted to do. That's not for me to figure out. That's between them and the Lord. But what we can say is that the flesh or the clay often gets in the way of what God wants to do in your life. And what I want you to see from this passage is the truth that the clay of our flesh must be uncovered and broken up before we can experience the Savior's power and blessings in our life. But when we get the clay out of the way, we can experience Jesus and His glory in a way that's impossible otherwise. Now, notice what happens when you get the clay out of the way. Now, the first thing I want you to see is, when you get the clay out of the way, you can examine the person of Jesus. Now, when they got the clay out of the way, they could see Jesus and what He was doing. Now He becomes more discernible. As they stood on that roof, they could hear the voice of Jesus, no doubt. They could hear, it was very dim, no doubt, as sound was going through the ceiling, and His face was hidden from them. But when the clay was removed, they could see Him. They could look on Him. I hope that as I say this, that you can, in your mind, you can parallel what I'm saying and compare it to you when you get your flesh under control. And notice here, nothing hides the lovely face of Jesus from view any more than our old stinking flesh. What is it that hides the face of our attitudes? Those old bad attitudes that we have. Our actions, our affections, our fears, our failures, our foolishness, our sins, our shortcomings, and all hide His face, and they diminish His voice. And I think we all understand that. The way our flesh acts sometimes. The thoughts that the flesh has. The all of these things that it dims His face from us. So not only that, but our greeds, our grudges, our hurts and our hates and our worries and our wanderings, they stand between us and seeing Him in all of His glory. Now nothing, and I want to say this, nothing hinders my walk with the Lord like I do. I can't blame it on anybody else, but what hinders my walk with the Lord more than anything else is me. But when the clay of this flesh is uncovered, that is seen for what it is, and when it's broken up, now how do you break up the clay? How do you break up? How do you get this flesh under control? That is that, and how you break it up is, and get it out of the way is by humbling ourselves before God in repentance, and the wall of separation between us falls, and we can see Him again. You see what I'm saying? We let feeling, we let unforgiveness, we let greed, we let hatred, we let all these different attitudes that we have get in our life, and they build a wall between us and the Lord, and we can't see Him like we need to. We can't hear Him like we should until we break them up, and we break them up by humbling ourselves and saying, "Oh God, I'm guilty. I'm sorry. I want You to forgive me. I have the wrong attitudes. I have the wrong. I have unforgiveness in my heart toward people. I have grudges. I have all of these things." And so you got to get those things out of the way in order to see and hear Jesus like He wants you to do. And so sin clouds the eyes. And sin sears the conscience. And getting that fix allows us to see Him once again. Because that's what sin does. And so the church at Ephesus, if you're for a good example, the church at Ephesus, they were a good church, a working church. But Jesus said, "I have one thing against you. You have left your first love." See, what happened was they didn't see that. They got involved in these things, and their eyes got blinded, and their conscience got seared, and they couldn't see that. So if you're going to make it through this life, you must be able to see Jesus. Now, just as the sheep must be able to see the shepherd, just as the bride must be able to see the bridegroom, just as the son must be able to see the father, and the saints must be able to see the Savior, seeing Him, seeing Jesus, makes our journey to heaven bearable. That's how, that makes it so much better as a Christian. Because we all know tonight that we as Christians, that we're pilgrims and strangers, we're on a journey. Is that not right? We're just passing through this world. And so he promised us that He'd go with us. But when we allow this flesh here to get in the way, then it hinders. And so we need to break it up through humble ourselves and repent. So when the clay was removed, they could see Jesus, and the object of their desire became more desirable. Now, when we get before Him and get the clay out of the way, our lives and business really begins to pick up. When He's seen in His right position, when we see Jesus as Savior, when we see Jesus as our Lord, when we see Jesus as our Master, and we see Him as God Almighty, the soul will long for Him and desire Him more whenever we begin to see Him and who He is. See, when you begin to see Him in all of His majesty, you begin to see Him in all of His power and all of His glory, and when you do that, that's going to cause you to desire Him more. That's going to cause you to want to be near Him and to be with Him when you see that. And nothing will thrill the saint like being with Jesus when the clay is out of the way. And you know, that's what is hindering so many people in their Christian walk. They cannot get the flesh out of the way. They can't get the flesh. The Apostle Paul says, "I die daily. Crucify the flesh. Put the flesh to death." And that's an everyday thing. You don't just get saved and all of a sudden the flesh is, you don't have to deal with the flesh anymore. Absolutely not. You deal with the flesh every day. And so you have to die daily. You have to crucify the flesh daily. It's a constant battle. It's a constant job. And so that's what the Bible says, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, is talking about. And so here we see here and what the Word of God. So the second thing I want you to see is you can enter the presence of Jesus when you get the clay out of the way. And you can discharge your burden now. Now, when the clay was removed, they were able to let the paralyzed man down at Jesus' feet. they were able to give him their burden. Whenever they got the clay out of the way, and we want to parallel it with us, whenever they got the when we get the flesh out of the way, then we're able to give our burden to the Lord. And they were able, their burden was the paralyzed friend that they were carrying. And they were able to get him to Jesus when they got the flesh out of the way, or the clay out of the way. And that is what that stood out to me, what the lady said here Sunday night. And that's the way that it is, folks. And it's so true. When you bring your burden to Jesus, you bring your troubles, you bring your trials, you bring your sicknesses, you bring whatever it is, your cares. You bring those, casting your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You bring those things to Jesus. You do just exactly what she's saying. You let Him down through the roof and you turn loose of the rope. You give it to Him. That's what we do when we bring our burdens to the Lord. We give them to Him. We leave them here on the altar. We don't pick them up with us and take them back home with us. We give them to Him and say, Lord, here they are. And so that was what they were able to do whenever they got the flesh out of the way, or the tile out of the way, the clay out of the way. They were able to get their burden to Jesus and to lay their burden. Their burden was for their paralyzed friend. And so they were able to get. Now the same is true for the child of God. As long as the clay is in the way, we cannot get to Him like we need to. Now here's a good verse of Scripture for that. Psalm 68:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now that's getting the clay out of the way. When we search our hearts and we know if there's sin in there, then we humble ourselves and we repent and ask the Lord to forgive us of that sin and say we're sorry and repent. So that is getting the clay out of the way. When you search your heart, humble yourself and make sure that there's no sin in there that would hinder you from getting your prayers answered. And so He said this right here. But when the clay is dealt with, when it's uncovered, when it's broken up, and we get to Jesus and place our burden at His feet, we have access to Him, and we're invited to come to Him. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. Hebrews 4:15-16, seeing that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, but was always tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. But let us be sure that we're in a position spiritually to take place, to take part or take advantage of this invitation. See, you've got to make sure that you're in the right place spiritually in order to come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You've got to have the clay out of the way. You've got to have the sin out of your heart. You've got to be pure before the Lord. And in order to do that, so you've got to make sure that you have the sin out in order to take advantage of these invitations. And so much hinges on you being able to get to Him. The clay or the flesh will keep you away if it can. It absolutely will. The flesh will keep you away. And every time we come, we see that. We see that and in people's lives, and it is so sad. And so Jesus looks up, and He sees these men and what they have done to get their friend to Him. And He commends them, and on the basis of their faith, He heals the paralyzed man. Did you know that God cannot bless your life like He wants to until you get the flesh out of the way? He cannot. Now, until your flesh and mind is dealt with, we can forget about revival. You can pray if you want to and think, but until we get the flesh out of the way, we might as well forget about revival. Until we get the flesh out of the way, we can forget about the having the power of God upon our lives. But when we take the steps to deal with the flesh, when we uncover it for what it is and get honest about our life, and when we take the steps to ensure that the clay is broken up before God, then we can and will move the power and the glory in His church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their lands and forgive their sins. See, they're breaking up the clay. When my people, here's how you break it up. Here's how you get rid of the flesh. You humble yourself. You say, "Oh, I'm guilty, Lord. I'm guilty. I've committed sins. I'm guilty before you." Humble ourselves, pray, seek the face of God, and turn from our wicked ways. Then, see what He's saying. In order to have revival and the power of God, these things must happen. And do you want to know who's going to cause me more trouble at this church than anyone else? You know who that is? Some of you probably say, them deacons, I guess. No. Or this one or that one. And it's not you. It's simply not you. It isn't the devil. The biggest problem, or my biggest problem, is me and this, I guess, rotten, stinking, Adamic nature that I carry with me. That's who causes me more trouble than anybody else. That's who causes you more trouble than anybody else. Your own stinking, rotten, Adamic nature. And so He says here in this scripture, and it gets more corrupt every day. You said, "I thought we got better every day." No, it gets more corrupt every day. But hallelujah, one of these days, we're going to drop this old flesh forever. Ain't that going to be wonderful? We won't have to wrestle with it no more. We won't have to be hindered by it no more. We won't have to be hurt by it no more. But until then, I have a duty before the Lord to labor to get the clay out of the way so He can bless our church. I have a duty so He can bless my family, so that He can bless my life, and so that He can bless like He wants to. So is your clay out of the way? Is your flesh? Is your flesh hindering you?
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.